forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand, leads me through the promised land. What a day, glory. You may be seated. Well, I've tested the knee about as long as it'll test. Time to get the stool. Thank you for your prayers, by the way, on this knee. It is getting better. Connie kicks me in it every once in a while when she wants me to do something for her, but other than that, it's not too bad. You know, there's a reason, I hope, there's a reason that you come to church. I hope you come to, first of all, get a blessing from God in the fellowship that you experience with other believers. But I hope you come, too, to have a personal experience with God. One that's just you and God, you know, even though we're among people. I know that many of you have experienced being alone in a crowd, okay? And so when you come, I hope that you're coming to have an experience with the Lord Jesus Christ through the power of his Holy Spirit working in you. Last week, Sunday morning, I preached a message on out of Hebrews 10, 22 through 24, 25, about some folks not wanting to assemble together with other believers. And I want to finish that. I didn't really get it finished last week, and I want to finish that this morning. And so this morning, I'm going to start off with the same verse I started with last Sunday morning, and that would be James 1:22. James 1:22. And it tells us in James 1:22, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." You know, coming to church is not like watching television. Television, you might watch a good mystery or something, and it doesn't make any difference to eternity who done it or whether you get it solved or not. But church does make a difference in eternity. We have church so that we can, number one, fellowship. And like I said, I encourage our entire congregation to become more regular in their attendance Sunday night, Wednesday night. And the motive behind this is manyfold. God has commanded it in his word in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, that we're to consider one another. Consider, I'm to consider you. You are to consider the other folks that are seated in this auditorium with you. Because you see, when you come, you are an encouragement to everybody else. When you come, you are an encouragement to everybody else. And I trust that everybody else is an encouragement to you. We love each other. God loves us. Jesus loves us. Through His Holy Spirit, He brings into us the fruit of the Spirit. And what is the first thing of that fruit? And many of you who have memorized Galatians 5, 22 and 23 know what that fruit is. What's the first evidence of the fruit? It's love. That's why we come to church. One of the reasons. But we come also so that we can learn more about God so that we can please Him with our life more effectively. That's what He wants. That's what I want to do with my heart. In my heart, I want to please God. Now, I know, I believe that we're talking about, when we talk about, as we see the day approaching in that Hebrews passage, I believe we're talking about the day the Lord comes back for His church. And as I look around at this society we're in, I think it's getting close. I really do. I will be disappointed if they pat me in the face with a shovel. Okay. I won't care. I won't be here. But I believe Jesus' coming is close. And so that's why we want to be together. You know, I would love to go home to heaven from church. It'd be so much better than some other place, grocery store or something like that. I'd love to go home from the church. I hope you do. I'm not going to worry about it. The Lord's going to come. One thing that we can do is to be obedient to God's word so that we don't incur chastening when we face Jesus. And if we're not faithful to the church, we will incur some chastening for that. Because I can't encourage you if I'm not here. I can't encourage you if you're not here. And neither can anybody else. If you're a part of this church ministry and the fact that you are here indicates that you are, that indicates that you are a part. And then I would expect you want as much benefit as you can get from your attendance. That you want this to be a plus in your life. And so I've started reading the Bible, and I'm reading in the book of Exodus about, I've started rereading it. No, I've been reading the Bible for a while, folks. I said that wrong, okay. Sort of like a former vice president that I know. But I've started rereading it, and I'm in the book of Exodus right now, and I'm reading it about Moses and God and the people of Israel. And one event in particular that I would like to share with you came out of Exodus 19, verses 3 through 8. Let me read that to you. That's Exodus 19, 3 through 8. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. You know, most priests have to go to school to prepare for the priesthood. You are all going to be priests. This is school. This is school. This is to prepare us to be those priests. He goes on, these are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And these are the words that I'm speaking to you this morning. Verse 7, and Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all the words which the Lord had commanded him. And this is the part that I really, really liked. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. Less than 40 days later, they made a calf of gold and worshiped it instead of God. You know why? Because the leadership was not there. Aaron was not a leader. He didn't lead them. When they said, let's make, you know, make us a God, he said, okay. So it's necessary for us to come as often as we can, to get built up, to get encouraged. And that's why we all want all of us to come back whenever we have services. You know, we have the same promise from our Heavenly Father. We are particularly interested in verse 6 of this passage, and it says, she shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. We have a promise from God that every one of you shall be in the priesthood. Yeah, you ladies too. All of you. Not necessarily in this life, but there's going to be 1,000 years where Jesus Christ is going to reign upon the earth. And we haven't gotten there yet. But when that time comes, you are going to be the priest. You are going to be a ruler over part of this vast world that we live in. And so we come here for preparation. Jesus talked about this. Well, John talked about it in the first chapter of Revelation. Revelation 1, 5, and 6. And from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness and a first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever. Amen. So we're here to learn what we need to know to be priests and kings and queens for you ladies. What a promise. You're not just going to be among the mundane people out there in the earth. You're going to be something special for God. Two other places in the book of Revelation, John tells us the same thing again, Revelation 5, 8 through 10, and when he had taken the book, four beasts and four elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of the odors, which are the prayers of the saints. So as we pray here every morning, as we pray here every Sunday night, as we pray here on Wednesday night, God is saving up those prayers in golden vials. Your prayers are going to be offered up to God, to Jesus Christ, as an offering of incense. That's why it's so important. We want to pour out something to our Lord. And verse 6 says, and blessed and holy he that hath a part in the first resurrection, on such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. That's a promise to you. To you. God is promising you that you're going to be a priest and you're going to reign with him as a king or a queen for 1,000 years over this earth. I can't imagine it. Do you understand that when you come to church for one of the regularly scheduled services, you are blessing and encouraging everybody else who's here? I'm so glad to see you. I love you. And some of you pretend you love me. It's so great. I'm so glad we love each other as a church. There's not a lot of churches in this area that do that. This is something special that God is doing because we are doing what James said in 1:22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. We are trying to do the word. And because of that, God's Holy Spirit multiplies our love for each other. You know, I want to see each of you be successful in the Lord. Now, if we can't be successful if we're not obedient to His Word. Would you consider making a special effort to be obedient to His command, to be faithful to this ministry? Every service is a part of the overall ministry. Even the dinner on Friday night, because we're going to be fellowshipping together, and we men are going to be saying to you ladies, how grateful we are that God has put you in our lives. Whether you are our mate or just our sister in Christ, each one of us are grateful to have you as a part of our life. This is very important. People need to say thanks when people do something for them. And you are an encouragement to me, and I know you're an encouragement to the other men here in this church. And so we want to just show you in a little way, thanks. Now don't get used to our waiting on you. That's not going to happen at home, okay? It may happen here on Friday night, but it won't happen necessarily at home. So, because we want to see, I want us to meet together and be faithful to the Lord, because there is another step we haven't taken yet. We haven't seen it yet. I'll be preaching about it again tonight. I preached about it last Sunday night. Revival. And if we're going to see revival, we have got to be obedient. Obedient. I want to see revival. I want to see this happen to us. It's a spiritual step that every Christian should want to experience. None of us have really experienced this yet. But I believe that it's possible because we love each other, because we are being faithful to the Word of God. I believe it's possible for us to see that. But in order for that to happen, we need to be someplace else? No. We need to be here. We need to be together. We need to be worshiping God. We need to be doing what God wants us to do. And I don't know. I can't see anybody's heart. And maybe you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ right now in your heart. We want to see you develop that. We want to make it an opportunity for you to experience Jesus Christ for yourself. Now, we're told in Scripture in James 4, 7 through 10, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. The biggest problem that you and I have in church, pride. Pride. We're proud. We want to look nice. Okay. But there's pride in that. Why do we want to look nice? Oh, so people will respect me. So they'll think I'm good looking. There's nothing I can do about that for me. But maybe you can do something. Dr. Bob Sr., back in the 60s, used to talk about the girls at Bob Jones. Bob Jones University was not a place where you found especially attractive people. It was a Christian college, and some of the young ladies who went there were a little large, okay? And so Dr. Bob used to say, well, if the barn needs painting, paint it. Talking about ladies using makeup and things. Well, if we will humble ourselves, if we will realize who God is, how great thou art. I'm so glad you played that. How great he is. And how he wants to reach down to each one of us, you and me. And he wants to do something special for our lives. He wants a special relationship with him and you. And we will find that relationship here. We'll find it here. So when we submit ourselves to every opportunity that God gives us to to be with the children, his children, other believers, then he's going to bless that time. It's going to be a special time. And it is. Now, you know, we can't draw closer to God if we're not where God's people are. We can't. We're supposed to be, he says, we're supposed to be together to worship him. Now, someone might say, well, that's easy for you to say, you're the pastor. But I'm not here solely because I'm the pastor. I'm here because I want fellowship with you. I'm here because I want you to build me up, and just your presence does that. And I hope our presence builds you up. I hope when you come to church, you feel good, you feel glad that the other people are here. And that you experience the love that we have for you, that the Holy Spirit has put in our lives. Now, I really am so glad that each one of you is part of our church family. I really am. I miss you when you're not here. I look for you. I don't write your name down. I don't keep attendance. But I miss you when you're not here. When you got to work, or you know, you're sick or you can't be here, I miss you. Because when each time you're here, each one of you is here, builds me up just a little bit. And I hope we build you up just a little bit. And so all of us, as we get together, we build each other up a whole lot. And that's why we come. So I want God to grow our church. I pray regularly, Lord, send us more people. I want to see these chairs filled, because the more people we have, the more building up we're going to have. The more love we're going to experience from everybody. And so I want to see our church filled. And so I pray to God, God, build up our church. But you know what? He doesn't work that way. You know who has to build this church up? Not me. You. You. You need to bring people with you. Some of you have done that, but keep bringing people. And if, you know, if they don't want to stay, then okay, but bring somebody else. And if we will bring people, we're replacing ourselves, and our church will grow, and we will be able to share Jesus Christ in the lives of the people you bring. people can get to know him and experience him. I don't want to see any of you fail at the things of God. I want to see each one of you successful. Now, God can use you for many, many different purposes. And you might say, well, I can't tell people about Jesus. I'm just too shy. I'm too scared. But you can do random acts of kindness in the name of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what happened to Connie and I. I think it was Wednesday. We went, I'm looking for a stationary bicycle, something I can pedal that'll get me some exercise for my knee without a lot of extra weight on it. They say it's a lot easier, and it also gives you more flexibility in the joint. So we're looking, and we've been looking all over the place, and Walmart had some, but not exactly what we wanted, and so we thought, let's go to the other Walmart over on Rivers. And so we went over there, and as we're walking through, we both wear hearing aids, and they take the same battery, and we were out of batteries at home, and I saw a display, and they had a 36-pack. Oh, wow. You know, we haven't been able to find anything like that for a while. And so I picked up the pack and took it, and we carried it around and went and looked at bikes, and they didn't have anything. And so we went back, and Connie said, well, just put the pack back and we'll get them someplace else. I said, no, we're supposed to. I asked the Holy Spirit, I said, Holy Spirit, what do I do? He said, get the batteries. That's a little thing, isn't it? To ask the Holy Spirit about batteries for hearing aids. But he said, get them. So we went on up, and we were going to go through the self-check rather than, because there were long lines and all the checkers. So we got in self-check, and we were behind a man, and he had a buggy full of groceries, and he was unloading stuff, and he looked up at us, and I said, do you mind if we come to your house to eat? Because of all the stuff he was getting. And he said, yeah, sure, come on. He didn't give us an address, but he invited us. And then, as he got done with his groceries, he looked down at my hand, and I was holding the batteries, and he said, is that all you got? And I said, yeah. And he said, here, give it to me. I'll pay for them. I said, but they're $20. I don't care. I'll pay for them. So he scanned them, paid for them, put them in a bag separate. He said, walk out with me so that if they ask you about it, I've got the ticket to show you've paid for, that they're paid for. We walked on out the store. He said, God bless you. We were thanking him. And he said, God bless you. And he went his way. We went ours. Random act of kindness. We can do those things. We can. Sometimes we miss opportunities to do what God wants us to do. We have to listen to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said, get the batteries, because he knew how he was going to pay for them. You see, as we meet together here every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, we are building each other up. We are making each other more attuned to what the Holy Spirit wants. And that's why we meet together here. We don't meet together here just to get you money. We don't even take an offering on Wednesday night. That's not why we want you here. We want you here because we want your fellowship. We want your spiritual fellowship as much as we want your physical fellowship. And I'll be so glad when this virus is over and I can start hugging ladies again. And some men. Really, that's part of us as a church family, a family of God. And people, I hope you're grateful to be a part of the family of God. And being here is part of that. I've got a lot more I can say, but I'm not going to. I believe that most of us sitting here this morning believe the Bible. I really believe that. And although we may not completely practice it, I believe we believe it. And in verse 23 of Hebrews says, let's hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. God wants us to be faithful to his church. It isn't my church. It's the church of Jesus Christ. He is head of this church. Nobody's name is on the deed for this property, other than maybe our trustees. But they don't own it. I don't own it. You don't own it. Jesus Christ owns this church. And that's why we're meeting. Because he wants us to have fellowship with him and have fellowship with each other. 2 Corinthians 13:4 says, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God. And every time we come here, we can experience the power of God. What a blessing. It's so important to apply the Word of God to every area of our life so we're able to accomplish God's purpose for us and not waste the time that God gives us. Every day he gives us as a gift. Every day. You don't have to wake up in the morning if God decides it's time. And so every day is a gift and that God gives us it, and we close with a gift from God. And the gift is 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Some of you might question that part, but God has given us that as a gift. Use the gift the best you can. Father, we are so thankful for all the things that you're doing in our life, for the blessings that you are pouring out as we sang this morning, count your blessings. And Father, we are so grateful for your gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. We would ask this morning that your Holy Spirit will work in our hearts to help us to be where you want each one of us to be, that we might be at the time and place you want us to be every moment of the day. And we will praise you, Father, for all that you're going to do. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.